because you're not going to have the millions of Netflix subscribers stop. But if they can get it down into that, I'd say $5 to $7 range.
What do you say you and me take a walk over to the tavern?
Let's pull up a chair.
A little something to eat.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Who doesn't love it?
Welcome to the Mouse and Castles.
Come on, Johnny, what are we waiting for?
This is a gathering place for fans of all things Disney. So sit back,
chow down,
have some sips, and chit-chat about the magical world created by Walt Disney.
For too long, I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Mouse and Castle, the Mouse and Castle podcast. Come on in. It's time to talk some Disney and some Disney Plus. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. I was shamelessly playing a clip just to brag about how I predicted the price point of Disney Plus. Join me in my self-adulation, Aaron Goins. How's it going, Aaron?
I'm glad you called yourself out on it, because I was going to totally call you out.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it,
How
sir.
Long did it take you to find that clip?
Like a few minutes. You know why? I forgot, like happens with most podcasting I do, I forgot that I said that. But my mom texted me literally an hour ago, and she's catching up on Mouse and Castle, which is, first of all, I'm a little scared. I'm like, what did I say? Did I say anything really embarrassing? The second thing is, she texted me, she's like, you totally called the price point. And so I knew which episode she would be listening to. So I just, a few minutes before the show, just kind of scrubbed through, found the little clip there, and decided to load it up, because there's nothing that I enjoy more than forgetting I was right about something and then remembering that fact. It's a great
to
feeling.
To be fair, because I was thinking about this, because someone else, I think Leslie, had pointed out that she was like, you guys nailed it on the price point, because I guess we had been talking about price points before.
That was the episode she was on, yeah.
I do believe that we at some point were saying between the $5 to $7 range, maybe $8, but then I think we upped it later on because of adding the whole Disney library and stuff. So I think
that
we had, at some point we were right, but all, like, we weren't consistently right.
Yeah, you know. We just,
so let's just make sure we
cast,
you know,
a wide and somewhere between $3 and $17.
Right,
it's going to be there. So Disney Plus. Let's get right into it. Details were announced for, a bunch of new details were announced for Disney Plus. Primarily, the price point, $6.99, a very affordable $6.99. Aaron, your impressions? I guess no real surprise.
It's actually, I am a bit surprised. I think it's cheaper than I expected. I think the last word I put on it was somewhere closer to $10 because of what they had announced, you know,
yeah,
with some of the shows that were coming and the fact that we're going to put the entire Disney library out there. I was like, wow, there's a lot of value there, and there's a pretty big fan base for those type of movies that I think people would be willing to spend up to $10. So I was surprised by how cheap it was, and I think a lot of people were. But you can do the whole, you know, a whole year for just $70, which I think, you know, would be more what we would do,
Cheaper. Yeah, that'll be me. Well, and I think we have to circle back to the reason they went for this price point is because they want to build that user base. They want the headline to be like, you know, within the first maybe year or two or three, hey, we're approaching Netflix numbers. Right. And so they just want to get, I think, in the first, probably next year or two, we're going to see that really cheap price just to rake in as many subscribers as possible. And then later they can, you know, they can up the price, which that's what Netflix did back in the day. They made their streaming was super cheap. But even when Netflix started, they didn't have that great of a library on streaming. And it's slowly gotten better and better over the years. But Disney's launching and they're coming in heavyweight. 7,500 episodes of current and past television shows, over 500 movies. And this is, man, it's not as much as Netflix, which, you know, has a gajillion.
Well, yeah. But the quality is higher than Netflix, I think, if you're looking at it like percentage-wise.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think, and that's where the announcement of having the classics and all the Marvel and Star Wars stuff that they're launching with, that's really the selling point. I mean, you just got back from Star Wars Celebration, and they were talking about The Mandalorian, and there's that panel. Were you in the panel? I believe you were, if I remember.
Yeah, I did make it into the Mandalorian panel, so I got to see some.
It was really cool. Like, and in that preview footage, they showed off the brand new Disney Plus logo.
Right. Yeah.
So I mean, like, there's your marketing right there, getting started.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been there when you're looking through Netflix and you're trying to find something to watch, and all of the, I mean, for lack of a better word, crap that you have to wade through. You know, there's good quality content on Netflix, but there's a lot. I mean, when you see that total number of titles, you know, catalog of 47,000 TV episodes, it's like, okay, yeah, but how much of that is anyone actually watching, you know?
Yeah.
So I think with Disney Plus, you're going to get right off the bat, you're getting, you know, the Marvel movies, the Star Wars movies, you're getting the entirety of the Disney library, you're getting, you know, for Simpsons fans, you're getting all the Simpsons episodes. I think you're getting pretty much quality content across the board that at least some portion of the population is going to be interested in, and not all that filler.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you're right, it is, you know, quality over quantity here. In the variety piece, and we'll have the show notes linked up at mouseandcastlepodcast.com, and that's where you can find all the links for the episode. But right from the variety article, the critical point, Disney's top content beats both Netflix and Amazon in consumer perceptions of quality. And this is, they have a UK-based firm that they've already been studying this. And that's what it's all about, is the sort of marketing impression. And so if people think Disney Plus, and I think honestly that's why they've chose that as a title. They could have been like Disney Streaming or Disney, I don't know, like Disney Live, or I don't know. There's a reason they chose Disney Plus, because they want you to think of premium content when you think of Disney Plus. I would say that it just makes sense.
Like FastPass Plus.
Well, right, exactly.
Isn't there a Hulu Plus? I feel like Plus is used a lot.
Yeah. Here's a quote from Richard Cooper. He's the research director at the firm. He's like, every Disney title needs to guarantee an audience. But with the entirety of Disney and Fox's library to choose from, it's very achievable. And that's the other thing we have to remember, is like the Fox acquisition is a big part of this too, in terms of building a bigger library of content.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see how they break up with Netflix, because I know that's already kind of beginning, but like all the Marvel movies that are on Netflix, that sort of thing. Solo, I know, Last Jedi was on Netflix. So it'll be interesting. I would assume that, well, actually it says it right here, starting in 2019 releases, all Disney titles will be only on Disney Plus. Okay, so that answers that question. So when this is Captain Marvel, Toy Story 4, Avengers Endgame, Frozen 2, all Lion King, Aladdin, Rise of Skywalker, all of this is stuff that's going to show up on Disney Plus. And I would assume on Disney Plus, and this is something Netflix doesn't do, but maybe they'll make that available same day and date release of the Blu-ray.
Maybe. Yeah, that would be, I mean, it would kind of be breaking a standard a little bit. Plus, they tend to release like a digital version ahead of time for like iTunes purchases.
Yeah.
So I think they might not want to give up that revenue. Mm. So I could still see there being a bit of a buffer between when it shows up online for purchase and shows up online for free. Then you're going to have those people like us, or at least like me, who will pay the $20 to watch it as soon as it's released digitally, even though I know it's going to be free in 2 weeks, just because I want to watch it.
I guess, although I think you're a rare example, Aaron, if I'm honest.
I don't know. I think there's more people like you than you think.
But isn't it more advantageous to Disney financially to bring someone like you and more consumers into their own system that they own, because they own Disney Plus as a distribution system? They're not beholden to iTunes or Amazon Prime or anything like that, and they therefore probably get way more revenue because they're not sharing it with iTunes. So if you ask me,
they're going to release all of their videos, their movies on iTunes anyways. You can buy them on iTunes.
Yeah, that's true.
That's going to be a given. So the question is, do they still do the whole release it a little bit early
yeah,
for digital purchase over top of You know, and people like me are going to do both. I'm going to buy it digitally so I can watch it on opening night, and then I'm also going to be subscribed to Disney Plus and watch it for free when it comes out on there. So, and believe me, I've proven time and time again that I'm willing to do this. So,
how many movies have you done? Is this like Star Wars, obviously, I'm guessing. But do you do this with other Disney releases?
I have, yeah. I've been known to, especially if it's a movie that I'm really excited about, like one of the, like, let's say Moana, for example.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As soon as it was available digitally, I purchased it. And then it became, I think it was on Netflix pretty quick.
Yeah.
But still had already bought it, you know, because I wanted to watch it right away.
Yeah. Yeah, so. That makes sense.
And then it's in your library, because the thing with Netflix is you never know what movies are coming and going. The good thing with Disney Plus is those movies are going to be there. It's not like Netflix where, oh, they lost the license. Like, Disney's not going to lose license to their own movies. True, so they're always going to be there.
Yeah, it's like I noticed Clone Wars is gone. Sad day from Netflix. So, hey, we've had a couple Galaxy's Edge updates to include. Are you ready, Aaron? Are you ready for this music?
For you, for me, we brought.
Here's not the greatest quality, but they announced. You weren't at the Galaxy's Edge panel, as you didn't miss much, by the way, at Star Wars Celebration. But they did have a Galaxy's Edge panel at Star Wars Celebration. I was watching the whole thing, glued to the TV, live, as Josh Gad relentlessly beat up our friend Matt Martin. Oh, man. Matt Martin of Lucasfilm, which is a guy who's kind of floated around our circles for a long time because of Star Wars podcasting. And it was kind of funny to see him up on the Galaxy's Edge panel. But they announced a bunch of stuff for Galaxy's Edge. And there's been even some breaking news in the last day or two as we record this. But the key takeaways, I mean, this is just kind of like a little bit of cherry on top stuff. I feel like they really kind of blew it early for the main stuff in that press event that we had Anthony Bresnikan on the show a couple episodes ago, and he went to the press event and covered it and kind of broke down a lot of the details. But right. They saved a little bit for Celebration. Frank Oz is back as Yoda, and they hinted at some form where you'll hear the sort of ethereal voice of Yoda in some experience, maybe building your lightsaber. They didn't tell you what, but that was kind of cool. Also, Paul Rubens returns as Rex. I confess live on the... I was doing Star Wars Report live podcast every day during the event, and Scott Rifen was a guest on that episode, and I was like, Paul Rubens, wait, who is he again?
Really?
Actually, I forgot he's the... and I blanked on his name, but Pee-wee Herman, right? Pee-wee Herman, yeah.
He's known mostly for Pee-wee Herman, yeah.
But he's back as Captain Rex, Rex turned Star Tours operator turned DJ. Which is really just like a deep cut references for the ultimate fans. But that's cool.
Yeah. The diehard Disney fans are going to appreciate that, but a lot of people are going to have no idea who that is.
And that's very true. And then here's, and again, pardon the crappy quality, but they show two different clips of the Cantina music that you can rock out to. Take a listen right here. A little groovy. There's nothing. I forgot. There's a kind of a dubstepy quality right here.
Wow, it's very cool. It's like
what is that? The music from?
That's the secondary. They showed two different music clips from Aga's Cantina that will be playing there. So if you're ready
I'm old enough that music's already annoying me.
What's funny is there's nothing more. This is a 2-minute clip, Aaron. And watching this panel live, especially when there's no like live audience reacting to it, there's no energy in the room. You're just watching the live stream. It is so awkward because they're sitting there for almost 2 minutes, just kind of sitting on the stage, awkwardly bobbing their heads to the cantina. It's like Doug Chang, Matt Martin, Josh Gad, Scott Trowbridge are all just sitting there just going, and just rocking out on stage. And it's like, oh, gosh. But, you know, it's just a couple details. Was there anything else at the... I know you were... there's not really anything else that they announced until yesterday, as we record this. We have details, kind of final details on the reservations for Galaxy's Edge. Walk us through the
kind of final,
the roller coaster of emotions you experienced, Aaron. I feel like that's the best way to describe what the details are.
I think we were kind of all waiting for, because it'd been so quiet ever since we had initially made our hotel reservation, to make sure we got our guaranteed, quote unquote, guaranteed registration or reservation for Galaxy's Edge. And we hadn't really heard much, but we did finally get, they just sent out, I think it was yesterday, they sent out confirmation emails kind of letting you know what your time slot was, which was kind of cool because we got to find out that it's a 4-hour time slot, which was something that we didn't know yet. I had heard 3 hours
from people that
were kind of in the know. So 4 hours is better than three. But yeah, we got our email, and right on the email it said that our time slot was actually the day before that we were all going to be getting there.
Whoops.
So it was kind of like, oh no, you know. But luckily we found out pretty quickly, and Disney was good about it, because when I called the customer service, they had a pre-recorded message like, hey, we know we messed up.
It's almost like they were getting a bunch of phone calls about it.
Right. In fact, when I first called, it was just a busy signal for like the first hour. Okay. So yeah, people were calling. People were a little panicked. They did kind of, they finally fixed it and gave the right time.
Was it just 24 stuff, hours off? Was that the thing, they just had the wrong day listed?
Yeah, everything was 24 hours off. So luckily we got a good time slot on Saturday, which is a day that we will all be there. So yes, we will have a 4-hour time slot. So people were speculating because there still wasn't a lot of details yet. We don't know about how they're controlling the crowds. No. Like, how are they knowing whose time slot it is? Do you get some sort of a wristband or something that indicates that, you know, you're in the right time slot? Are they going to be, you know, actively ushering people out at all times?
You had an interesting theory when we were talking offline about how they've done previous events.
Yeah, I mean, I have been to enough of these type of events with, you know, things like Mickey's Not So Scary, or even the events that we've done after the races, you know, when we go to the Epcot party after the food and wine race, they have a system where there usually is some sort of a wristband or a lanyard. I know they did for one of the Star Wars events, they did a lanyard, but there is some indicator that you're allowed to be there. And they do have some people that are kind of left over from being in the park earlier in the day, and the event kind of overlaps a little bit. But they do, at some point, if you're not wearing the lanyard or you don't have the wristband and you try to go onto a ride or you try to purchase something, they'll kind of start to hint for you to go toward the exits, you know.
How does that work? Because Disney's so focused on guest experience. How do you broach that? Is it just like a little polite tap on the shoulder? I bet it's in the universe.
They do really,
like,
good with it. It's really, they really do. They do it in a way that's very polite. It's not like a you need to leave now type of situation. It's always very much like, okay, you know, this is, you know, head toward the exits. And I know the one time when they did the Star Wars event, it was the most strict I had ever seen them. If you weren't wearing a lanyard, they called you out pretty quick and asked you to leave. So I think with something like this, because of the crowd control, which they're going to need to control the crowds, that they will probably be pretty strict.
Yeah.
But Disney just has a way of being nice, even when they're being not nice.
So kicking you out.
I had heard, maybe it was Teresa Delgado, we were talking a little bit about what she thought, and I think she had said she had heard, and it kind of makes sense, that they're going to do, like, quote unquote, stormtrooper sweeps, where they'll literally have in character kind of moments where it's like people are going through, like, stormtroopers will be like
that makes
ushering
sense.
You out. So that would be cool because it'd be in universe.
Yeah. Bethany's theory was, and just totally guessing, but like, how about if they gave you a reserved time spot for the Millennium Falcon ride, but they engineered the park to where the exit of the ride was the exit of the park, so the Millennium Falcon ride was literally at the end of your 4 hours? Like, that'd be brilliant.
That would be interesting.
Because otherwise, yeah, you're giving
you're
up.
Out.
Yeah, and you're giving up the Millennium Falcon ride spot that they reserved you.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
I really think what they're going to do is simple as, I think they're just going to do different colored wristbands. And I think they'll let you in. Now, it is a big question on how they'll handle the Millennium Falcon ride, because do you go and then just as soon as you get in the land, you just jump in line and hope that you don't have to wait the entire 4 hours?
Yeah, no.
Are they letting in you know, how many people are they letting in? Is it thousands of people? Is it hundreds of people? Like, at each time slot, it'll be interesting to see what the crowd looks like, because it could actually be a pretty cool experience if they do limit the number of people, so you actually don't get that super crowded vibe, and you might actually be able to get onto the Millennium Falcon ride.
That's kind of what, and it's been my fingers crossed for, like, this, all this effort that we're doing, and, you know, effort and money that, and taking me taking a few days of leave. I mean, it's a lot to do to go to a Disney park event. I mean, obviously for me, it's kind of a no brainer because it's Star Wars, but this is kind of a test run for me. I've never actually gone to this much trouble and expense to see something at Disney. And I feel like they know that for the first few weeks, and maybe they're willing to take a little bit of a hit in terms of park attendance numbers overall to really have a better experience and better reviews. And
yeah,
you know,
I've already heard a little bit of negativity coming out because they did just now announce some of these details. We knew some of these details because remember that night that I just got onto the customer service and somebody started chatting with me?
You mean as a respected member of the Disney media complex? You did your research, sir.
I did do my research. And we did get some pretty good details from that customer service agent that I talked to over chat, which did already kind of give us a preview of some of the details they officially released yesterday. But one of the things that a lot of people were surprised about is that even if you're going for a 3, 4, 5 day vacation, mm-hmm. you only get one time slot. So yeah. if you're going to Disneyland for 3 days, you only get to go to Galaxy's Edge one of those 3 days. A lot of people were very surprised about that. And I have heard some negativity coming from people who had planned vacations around this.
Oh, so they did what we did, but rather than like the quick in and out, they are like, oh no, I'm taking this week to go to Disneyland and I expect to go to Galaxy's Edge, you know, 2 or 3 times.
Exactly. So now finding out that they're only getting a 4-hour time slot is a bit of a surprise. So I'm glad we knew ahead of time.
Let's have this conversation now. I'm just curious, like, when we go, and I haven't talked to you about it, what's your instinct? Is it like try to make sure we do the Millennium Falcon? I know you brought it up briefly at the beginning, or do we focus on the other experiences? What do you want to prioritize seeing in the 4 hours?
There's a couple of things that we don't know yet that I think will help me determine this.
Okay.
We don't know if there's any kind of additional planning around crowd control for specifically the Millennium Falcon ride.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, if there may be some sort of a system where they make sure everyone that gets in the park gets to go on that ride, and maybe they do give you, like Bethany was saying, some sort of a time slot for that specifically.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then it's like, okay, I know I'm going to get on it, and you just go whenever they tell you to go and then enjoy the rest of the land. But if the alternative is you just get in line and you have to wait the majority of your time slot in line for one ride, then I'm less likely to do that.
Yeah. No.
I'm more likely to just want to enjoy the entire space and go to different shops and in the restaurants and eat some of the food. And then maybe the next time we go, we get in line for the Millennium Falcon ride.
I'm exactly in the same. I want to go to the shops, the food, explore. I want to get a good sense of the whole land, actually spend some time walking around, hanging out, and really seeing what else we could do. Like the, honestly, that's what I want to prioritize, because that's also like generally how I like to do Disney. I'm not at the point where I want to desperately do rides. It's like the last few times we've been to Animal Kingdom, I haven't done the main ride. What is it? I already blanked on the name. I don't know why.
Flight of Passage.
Thank you, Flight of Passage. But like, as much as I really want to do that ride, it's just not worth the time away from just enjoying the park. Yeah. And I hope that they've really made it Galaxy's Edge to where, and this is why I think they only have two rides, is that they really are focusing on making Galaxy's Edge something that you enjoy experiencing as a whole. It's not just about those, you know, flagship rides. So I'm hoping that's the case.
In my experience with special events, especially when they have a limited number of people that they allow in, it tends to make the lines a lot shorter.
Yes.
So I do think that the line that we will experience for the Millennium Falcon will be different for when they just open it up to the public and just say, okay, now everybody can get in and there's no restrictions.
For
then
sure.
I think that's when the line's going to get crazy. The other thing, too, is that we don't know is you have a 4-hour time slot, but do you have... Are they pulling people out of lines at the end of that time slot? Like, can you wait until your 4 hours is right about up and then jump in line for the Millennium Falcon? You know, Those are some tricks of the trade that Disney goers know about. You know, if it's, you know, you're leaving Animal Kingdom, you can literally jump in line for Flight of Passage 1 minute before the park closes, and they will let you wait hours. So
I'll have to remember that for the next time we go.
So that would be interesting to see how many people try to take advantage of that. Or there's a lot of unknown yet.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, and we've kind of talked around. I'm going to hit the main before we move on from these reservations. If you do want to be amongst the first people in that opening window, whatever it is, until May 31st through June 23rd.
June 23rd or 26th or something?
23rd, found it here.
Okay.
So if you want to be in that first 3-4 weeks, here's how, and you're not staying at a resort, what you're going to have to do is go online May 2nd?
Yes.
May 2nd at 8 a.m. Pacific time, 10 a.m. my time, so for Leslie. I already texted Leslie. You're going to go online. You have to have a Disney account, and then you can log in and try to get your reservation. And that is no additional cost. You just have to have a Disneyland account, a Disney account, and have that ready to go, logged in. It's like ordering an iPhone. You've got to be ready to go.
Make sure you're somewhere that you have a fast internet connection.
Exactly. A blazing fast internet connection. And let's see, you make sure you create that account early, and then they'll open it up, and then you'll try to get your reservation hopefully on time. And so I imagine that first week is really good. If you're like Leslie and you're trying to reserve something a few weeks later or 2 weeks later, hopefully that'll help it not be as busy. But who knows? Maybe the whole thing will crash. I bet that'll be the headlines for the days.
It would be interesting to see. Because typically that is what happens in these situations.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Remember when the tickets opened up for Force Awakens and like all the Fandango was crashed? And
oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when you knew that movie was going to be crazy. So there you go. I look forward to our 4 hours in that galaxy far, far away that I'm flying from East Coast to West Coast. Well, both of us are. So yeah. We will be bringing you all of that. We've been really hyping this trip. But we are.
We better do some kind of like Instagram live stream or something.
We will be. We'll be doing some Instagram lives, assuming that this network works there, at Mouse and Castle on Instagram and Twitter. And just follow us there. It's going to be great. And we'll be posting pictures, all kinds of stuff there. And of course, recording stuff for the podcast, I'm sure. I'll be shooting video. I'll be doing a little video blog of it. And I'll post that online and let you guys know where to find it. So you'll get a tour of Galaxy's Edge, which will be very, you know, a lot of people will be doing it, but you won't be getting our tour of Galaxy's Edge, which will probably be a little irreverent if I had to just guess. hey, a couple more quick news stories before we go. Rivers of Light is getting an update at Animal Kingdom, speaking of Animal Kingdom, and it's called Rivers of Light, We Are One, coming this summer. Now, Rivers of Light, I haven't seen. It's only 2 years old. At Animal Kingdom. I don't know. Have you seen it, Aaron?
No, actually, surprisingly, I haven't. I've been to Animal Kingdom a number of times in the past couple of years, but I prioritized Flight of Passage over the late night show. So I would always try to jump into the Flight of Passage line right at the, you know, kind of around that time.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I thought I'd have more time to catch it. I'm kind of sad because I like these nighttime shows, especially the ones with lights and projections and all that. So I was kind of bummed that there are changing it before I'll be able, because I'm not going to be there again until November. So
yeah,
we'll
try in November. Is it just for the summer here, or is it an overall update? I think this is new. It comes this summer, and they're basically just updating it.
It's just the next version of their nighttime show. So they'll probably run this one for a while, and then adding
some stuff from the Disney nature films, as well as tapestry of classic moments from Disney animation, kind of intercut with some of the Disney nature stuff. I know Disney nature has like the penguin thing coming out soon.
Yeah.
So they're going to showcase a way of kind of showcasing the quote emotions and milestones we all share in our journey through the great, wait for it, circle of life. So
I mean, just this shot they have here, I'm assuming is from the current show on the article, but it looks pretty cool. I'm kind of sad that I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I might try to give that a whirl in November when we go down. Like I said, I've been saying before, I want to add a day or two on the front end, try to
make it more of a full-on Disney vacation. But we'll see. And then also, we have an update on what I consider, and I don't know what you think of this news story, Aaron, but I had to add it just because I am fascinated by the gondola that they're building. The Skyliner,
the Skyliner.
Gondola. Now, so, because like, and I keep seeing, like, of all the things to get obsessed about with Disney, I keep seeing our, like, videos of them testing it, and it's a, it's a ski lift, right? It's a gondola, but I've never been snow skiing, confession, and just the idea of hopping onto a gondola and going from park to park sounds like the perfect, especially if they're air conditioned, is the
perfect.
Oh, dang it. I was building it up in my mind.
It's a big story. They're not. That's a big thing that people have been wondering about because they're not air conditioned. Apparently, they've designed them in a way supposed to block the whatever coating they have on it. Supposed to reflect the sun, and then they're supposed to be ventilated, so it's a lot of airflow. They claim they're going to be very comfortable. Which I mean, it's Disney. They're not going to put you on something, you know, that's not comfortable. So
yeah,
I'm sure it'll be fine. But no, they are not air conditioned.
Oh, now I'm sad.
They probably saved a ton of money not air conditioning each one of these units.
Yeah. So here we go. But they will operate 11 miles an hour. Fabulous views, according to Disney VP Thomas Mazium. Mazium also addressed the common questions that have arisen about the Florida-based transportation system without air conditioning. Yeah, there it is. He stated, here's the quote. We have specifically designed them for the Florida climate in mind. The cabin windows will be built to reflect the sun. Mesh screens will present a steady airflow. Average ride is about 15 minutes, traveling between 50 and 60 feet in the air. Beautiful views. The system will board and operate continuously, although the additional time will be allotted for those who need help boarding the vehicles. The article doesn't have it listed there. Where is it actually operating? I'm trying to remember.
Okay, so it's going to be it's going to have depots at Epcot, Hollywood Studios.
No way.
And then they're going to put it at some of the resorts that currently don't have, that aren't as, I don't know, like not as popular.
Okay.
So it's like the Caribbean Beach Resort, the Disney's Art of Animation and Pop Century are going to have stops there. And the new Riviera Resort as well. So, which I think is all strategic with Disney because these are some of their, either mid-level or lower-level resorts. So they want to increase traffic. So now if you want to stay at Pop Century, there's an incentive to stay there because you have transportation directly to Epcot. You have transportation directly to Hollywood Studios, which before you had to get on a bus.
Which, and frankly, those are the ones that I'm that are in my price range more. So like as I look at maybe doing a resort this fall, I would do one of the more budget resorts. So the idea of like staying at Art of Animation, and then just hopping on a gondola and 15 minutes later being at Hollywood Studios, dude.
Because we could probably do that for our race. You know, if we need to get over to the race in the morning.
Yes. When is it open? Is it open by then?
I believe these will be open before we're down there in November.
Yeah.
I think it says.
Yeah, here we go. It'll be fall 2019, they say, in the initial article publishing, talking about it. So,
Yeah. So there's a chance they'll be open by then, but I would like to try them out. I'm on the fence about this because, and I know people love the idea of these. I think it's a bit of an eyesore.
Oh, really?
To have these. I do, but
they're like colorful little Disney pods floating through the air.
You know, like up in the sky all the time. Like, for me, I was surprised by it when they first announced those because I was like, okay, that's an interesting mode of transportation. They already have a lot of other modes of transportation that they've offered. I can see why they're doing it, and I think it could end up being something pretty cool as an option for travel, but I do think it's maybe a bit of an eyesore.
Really? Okay. Well,
I like my skies clear. I like my views.
Just think of them as like kites from Mary Poppins. Just,
Well, some of them are supposed to have some pretty cool art and characters and fun for the kids. So, we'll see. Like I said, I'm on the fence.
Don't be such a grouch.
They can win me over. They can win me over.
Well, folks, that is going to put the wraps on yet another episode of the Mouse and Castle podcast. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Hey, stay in touch with us. Oh, and before I go, I almost forgot. I had it here. We got I wanted to highlight an iTunes review from Cassidy.
And she just says, loving the podcast. The only Disney podcast that my boyfriend and I look forward to. We're total Disney nerds, and we love that we can get super detailed reviews and updates without having to spend the time to find them in our busy college schedules. Aw, college boyfriend and girlfriend. Thanks so much for the fantastic podcast from two Arizona State students. Well, Cassidy, thanks so much. Appreciate you leaving us an iTunes review. It does. It really helps the show. If you want to just go to iTunes, or if you're listening in the Apple Podcasts app, it's super easy. Leave us a rating and review, and we really do appreciate those of you guys who have done so. And just share the podcast. If you have any other Disney friends, share a link to the podcast and spread the mouse magic. Hey, also, follow us. Like we said, we're going to be documenting some of these Disney trips, and we're going to be doing a lot more on social media, too, in the future, especially this summer. I'm going to be doing a little bit more on putting some audio on YouTube and clips on our Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. So make sure you're following our social media channels. It's at Mouse and Castle. Super easy, at Mouse and Castle. If you would like to email us, it's mouseandcastlepodcast@gmail.com. Excuse me, mouseandcastle@gmail.com. Mouseandcastle@gmail.com. The website is mouseandcastlepodcast.com, and that's where you can find the links to everything we talked about in the episode today. If you want to see pictures of the beautiful gondola, even though Aaron hates it, you can see that at our show notes, mouseandcastlepodcast.com. Until next time, may the magic of the mouse be with you wherever you go. And may the force be with you. I figured, we got the Star Wars music. You just got a little Star Warsiness. All right. A lot of great Disney stuff this year, man. Coming up soon. I'm glad, and I didn't even know any of this stuff was coming or going to fall. The chips were going to fall like this when we started this podcast. We're going to come
there's
up.
There's a lot.
We're going to come up on a year anniversary soon. Hang on.
Really? No.
In a few months.
When did we start?
We started in June.